Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Good day, Dr. Drew.
Is that good day or good day?
Good day. I said good day.
How dare you say good day to me, sir?
Woo, it's time to celebrate.
Yeah, we're a show of the year.
iTunes show of the year. New show of the year.
It's hard to imagine we're a new show.
About us. That is quite an accolade because I don't know who I spoke to, but I spoke to someone once that said iTunes had about 500,000 shows on it.
Really?
Well, you think about the number of podcasts.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I guess you're right.
It's into the millions.
Really? I believe you. I'm just, that's stunning to me that it's that pervasive now.
Well, let's now you've heard of nine of them, but what I'm saying is
everyone wants to do one. I know that. Everyone's throwing shit at the wall, right?
Well, there used to be technology would stand in the way of this. You can pull it off the screen,
well,
by the way,
to be fair, you needed, I mean, to create a visual image that moved with sound required a movie studio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there was technology required to do this, and you had to distribute it to people. Now it's in your home.
Well,
all of it.
It's, you know, it's everything's, well, look at, let's put it to you this way. How much backyard porn has been made in the last 5 years? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can film it on your camera and throw it up on the internet.
Yeah.
It's boom, boom, and boom. Yeah. Everyone with a cock is making porn. So, if there's no technology has always, you know, it used to be, geez, I'd like to own a railroad. Well,
yeah.
That's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
And then it used to be, I'm going to make a movie. Well, there's no independent movies in the 40s.
Right.
I mean, that's expensive. You need a studio. Well, it just keeps going down and down and down.
Yeah.
But the podcast, all you need is, they need a laptop. I mean, you don't need, now,
but
not,
you have to pay for the broadband, though. Right?
Yeah, but not if no one listens.
Oh, you only pay for a number. I see. Interesting.
Yeah, you use broadband.
I thought you paid no matter what.
No, you use it like diesel fuel.
Right, right.
If you're just going to sit in a Jetta and idle, it's not going to cost as much as a tanker ship. You know what I'm saying?
It is interesting how everyone has a podcast. That is interesting.
I don't know what the numbers are. We can try to look into it. I don't know if anyone knows these numbers, but it could be into the millions. Now, I think iTunes probably puts a cap of 250,000 or 500,000 or something like that.
Wow. That they'll post. That kind of thing?
Yeah, because they're not going to throw up every Yahoo that comes up with a podcast on their, basically their server, network, whatever.
So I feel special, honored.
Feel special.
I thought it was just us and 100 other guys.
I think
wow.
I think on iTunes it's into the hundreds of thousands, and worldwide it could be. Now, you gotta include, there's places called China.
Where?
There's places everywhere. It's not just, you know, you tend to just think, well, let's see, Los Angeles, and then you got to figure the outlying areas, San Bernardino, Riverside. No.
Yeah.
It's the entire planet.
Yeah.
All right.
That's cool. Congratulations. Well done, sir.
As right back to you, my friends. All right. So Chris Maxpat is something you need to dig through, which I forgot to bring up before the show.
Yeah.
The Newman sizzle reel, which is another interesting thing on the internet. And I don't know what Dr. Drew thinks of this, but Maxpat, when you find it, you can put it up
this
for
us. This is a reel about your documentary?
Well, I'm trying to get Tom Cruise to be in this documentary. because he drove with Paul Newman for 2 years.
Right.
But I have no way to get through to Tom Cruise.
Right.
There's the way the city goes and the way this industry goes. I think Tom Cruise would like to talk about his days with Paul Newman and Bob Sharp and those days in the 80s, early 90s racing with those guys. Probably has a couple of good stories.
It'd make him look tough, too.
Well, yeah, not only that, most of these guys would love to do an interview, but the first question is, how's the divorce coming and what's going on with Oprah's couch? And they don't want to do it.
That's what the press does to you.
Right.
Always.
So
always.
You have a publicist, and your publicist is just a firewall. And they're just like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple of times a year when they do a movie, and hold it for a second, and they have to do it. What I'm saying is, hey, I don't want to talk to you about anything but racing and Paul Newman in those days. He raced with Newman in a lower class.
Yeah.
The Newman, but they traveled around and raced together.
That's cool.
And it's cool. And so what I did is somebody said, look, you're not going to get through as publicist. Tweet it out there.
It's a great idea.
Get people to send it to him.
Yeah.
Sort of bombard him.
Yeah.
Let him know.
Yeah.
Go around the publicist or whoever.
Using social media. It's a great idea.
Using social media. So I will, I'll show you the 2-minute sizzle reel that we're sending out to him and that we're asking people to send out to him.
I don't hear it. There we go.
See it with the Oscars. People vote. They say him or her. In this, it isn't. We vote and it's him and her. You either cross the finish line first or it's either him or her.
You've said stuff like that too before.
I like that part of all sports.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
I think he was 48 years old when he started racing, which most people are retiring.
He made the movie winning and kind of fallen in love with racing.
He was terrible at first. He was very slow, and I didn't think he had a prayer.
And he wasn't racing Ferraris, and he wasn't racing he was racing Datsuns. It was something
Leno,
the average guy could aspire to.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I think he liked the camaraderie, and I think the
Patrick
fellowship
Dempsey.
Of that relationship with a fellow driver, as you know, there's nothing like it. It's not anything you can have in Hollywood at all.
I always wanted to be a jock. I skied and boxed and played football badly. I had no physical grace.
He was
the
a
only
small
thing
guy,
that
too.
I ever found any grace in was an automobile.
This makes sense. He has the big instrument around him.
Yeah.
The guy was... Technically, I mean, he was really a good
How
driver.
The hell did you
He just had that ability.
Everyone wants to talk about Paul Newman.
In show business, regard his
That's
racing.
Mario Andretti, sir.
I'm not sure they know he races.
At first, he would take time off for movies. And then, later on, the movies had to work around his racing schedule.
Every year, I keep saying that I'm going to, you know, stop all this. And so now it looks like I got a couple of really good scripts that will go during... the spring and the summer. So all I have to do is burn all those scripts, you see, so I get back in the car again.
I was worried about him. I really was seriously concerned. His whole career looked as though it was going to go down the drain because all he wanted to do was race. And that was all that he was really interested in.
They'll have to strap me down before they keep me out of these things.
It's cool.
Yeah, so... we're reaching out to Tom Cruise
Help
to be
us.
Part
it's,
of this.
It's hashtag book Tom.
Ah, nice. Thank you very much. Yeah, Mario Andretti was out here. These guys are very friendly. Most everyone in the racing community is friendly. He was out here doing an IndyCar race. And we just said, can we talk to you about Paul? I'm like, absolutely.
What's interesting to me, just first thing that occurs to me as I watch that, is fucking anybody doing in life what they want to do? You know what I mean? This guy has this glorious movie career. Nah, it's not what I want to do. I want to race cars.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. And everybody's doing something. Chris, what, Maxipati, you want to make music, right?
Yeah.
Gary, what do you want to be doing other than sitting there?
This.
Tell your face.
But you know what I mean? What would you rather be doing? Racing?
No, for me,
Are you getting to do everything you wanted to do?
Well, I'll ask you, and then we'll break this down because it's an interesting point. I think most people have decided in life that there's a trade-off. Dig. Let's break it down.
Okay.
It started with, I would like to eat, and I would like shelter.
I'd like to have a house, yeah.
Not a house.
Shelter, yeah, roof.
A roof,
yeah.
With three roommates.
Yeah.
So I will dig a ditch.
Right.
And I don't think...
I don't want to dig a ditch, but I will dig a ditch.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know that people fully understand. Shovel for 40 minutes, see what it feels like. I would shovel for 9 hours. That's all we did. We just literally just dug. There wasn't like, do a little shoveling,
now
then do
dig.
A little finish work. Now we dig. Yeah. For $7 an hour, I would dig ditches. And it was fucking miserable. It was monotonous and miserable. But what did I want? I wanted a hamburger and
well,
I wanted
fair,
a
probably,
roof.
If I'm sort of revivifying the early Corolla years, I imagine you wanted to get laid. And for that, you needed a car. You needed to have had nutrition. Right?
No. In that order. No. I'm really, honestly, I needed to take care of myself. Yeah. I didn't have a family that would take care of me. And I needed, you know, I wanted a place with hot and cold running water and a futon to sleep on. And I wanted food. Not good food. Not a lot of food. Just food.
Yeah.
And
Captain Crunch.
There, no. I wouldn't buy any. Everything was fucking expensive back then, especially when you're making seven. I was making $7 an hour and having taxes taken out of it. Yeah. It was like I didn't have anything at the
didn't
end of the
lobby for a higher minimum wage.
The week. I don't know what this was. Well above. I mean, this was the minimum wage probably $3.50,
five and a quarter. I bet then.
No, it could have been $4. Yeah. Oh, whatever. Anyway, that was the first move. The second move was, I'd like to get paid and not be miserable. I don't mind being uncomfortable or unhappy, but I don't want to be miserable.
Yeah.
So I started buying tools and started getting myself out of that. And I got out of the hole and started doing carpentry and found myself less miserable getting $12, $13 to hang a door than getting $7, $8 to dig a ditch. And could afford a little nicer brand of food.
Yeah.
And then it just kept going from there. Then I said, even then, I got to a point where I was kind of my own boss, doing, not digging ditches, just doing carpentry. It wasn't miserable, making $15 an hour. But I still wanted a house to call my own. I wanted to own something.
And you weren't doing what you wanted to do then. I think that's probably why you trained in comedy, right? Or was that a hobby at that point?
I trained in comedy because I enjoyed carpentry to a certain degree. It felt gratifying to have this experience and
skill
and all that kind of stuff. But there was such a I knew there was such a lid on it. I mean, you literally didn't get paid until the job was done. You know, we're coming up on Christmas. You didn't get paid on Christmas. You're coming up on the New Year, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, I didn't get paid on those days. Even when I work, obviously when I work for myself, it's just I didn't work that day. Well, I didn't get paid that day.
Right.
And then you'd show up and your tools would get ripped off or the materials got ripped off or whatever. It just became way too inconsistent and I knew it was just way too much work. So even though I didn't hate it, I wanted to move on to something that paid the bills and whatever. Got into comedy. Now, I would think, and I don't think I share this with Newman, I love cars, I love building, I love doing podcasts, I love a lot of stuff, I love making a Newman documentary. The reason I love it is because of the variety.
Right. You're right. I agree with that. I understand that.
After Thanksgiving, and after eating the turkey and eating the stuffing and the you know the sweet potatoes and all that kind of stuff. After 2 days or 3 days of living off leftover turkey and so on and so forth, I always order Thai food.
Right.
So I want as far away. Do I love turkey? Yes. Do I love stuffing? Yes. But after 3 days, what do I want?
Yeah.
Thai food.
But I think there's a piece in here that people don't think about when they have these kinds of conversations. In one is synthesizing, right? Synthesizing things you like, and you know, like part, like being able to build the studio and then broadcast. You know, like parts of yourself come in. It makes a whole that you know. You may want to be podcasting, but the fact that you build the studio is still part of this whole experience.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, so, and when you're trying to figure out what you want to do, you don't think about the synthesizing parts of yourself. Does that make sense?
Oh, listen. You boys listening up over there? I always talk about the story about being a boxing instructor and meeting Jimmy and blah, blah, blah.
That's synthesizing.
The part that I leave off that you're going to love in your synthesizer is this. I wanted to teach boxing as a as an evolution of here's something I enjoy, here's something I have a passion for, and it would be much more enjoyable than working on a roof all day, being in a class, indoors, working with people. You know, when you do construction, you work for yourself, you work alone, or you work with guys you pick up at the Home Depot. I wanted to get in a social environment. I want to meet some ladies, talk to some guys, I could be in with some people, professionals, you know, it's people that did something. But
Dig.
I went to Bodies in Motion. The owner is a guy named Bruce. I said to him, "Hey, I'll be a great boxing instructor. I'm great at this. Do you think you have a class or something? Can I train? Can I we're gonna show you what I got?" And he just said no. He just went buzz off.
Well, that's an asshole.
Well, he is, but he said he was realistic. He said, I knew him through a friend of a friend kind of thing. Right. So I had a little in. And he just, even with my in, he was just like, no. And I said, why not? And he said, we hire to train other people, former champions.
Oh.
People that, names you've heard of.
Right.
Or people who, you know, you could go WBC, junior welterweight, you know, North American. Even if you never heard of the guy had a title.
Right.
Because obviously,
it's like puppy having papers.
Yeah, or as attorney passing the bar. Like, this guy knows a lot about law instinctively. Yeah. Like, you can't have that guy.
Right.
You're going to teach. You have a guy who, hey, here's how this guy.
Credentials.
I had no credentials.
Yeah.
So he said, no. And I said, speaking of synthesizing, I just went, okay, hard to argue with no credentials, no teaching. And I said, I bet there's some work you need around here. I looked around that gym. I was like, and I saw like speed bag holders like sitting on the ground and stuff. And I said, I could hang those. And he was like, attitude completely changed, completely and utterly changed.
Pow.
Why? Something in it for him, everybody.
Yeah.
So he just like turned around and he went, well, why? What do you do? I said, I'm a carpenter, journeyman carpenter. Oh, he said, because I've been wanting to hang these bags and hang that speed bag thing and hang some heavy bags. I said, that's easy. I can do that.
Did you hang that whole heavy bag forest they had?
This was at the West L.A. place. And yes, I did the forest at the Pasadena one.
Wow.
So I said, I can handle this. And he said, oh, okay. And I said, tell you what. I will charge you $10 an hour. Very cheap rate. I'll work fast, and I work clean. I work alone. And here's all I need out of you. You don't have to give me a class. Just let me shadow a guy who's teaching a class. Let me watch him teach. Let me, you know, and then, you know, after three or four of those, for 10 minutes, let him go, let Adam take over and put you through your paces. And then it'll get back to him again.
You assume the guy would let you do that. Or you were asking this guy permission for the guy to do that.
I said, if you want me to come in here and do...
No. The idea of the teacher letting you jump in a little bit was something you assumed would happen?
I don't know how much I worked it out in advance. I just said,
I just imagine Ray doing this.
No. I have a no-risk trial offer for you.
Yeah, I get it.
I will fix your gym up for $10 an hour. You will get a guy who's basically an architect, an engineer, and a master builder for $10 an hour. I'll come in here at night.
Yeah.
You guys close at 10? I come in at 10. I work till 5 in the morning.
It's proof positive that occasionally these too-good-to-be-true opportunities do come along. You know what I mean? When people really want to
I don't know who
involved.
Was too good to be true for.
You.
Not too good for me.
For them, yeah.
Oh, for them, yeah. I made it too good to be true.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I used to listen to you doing Loveline while, at 2 in the morning while I was working in this guy's gym that was closed down.
Crazy.
Gyms are weird, eerie places when they're closed down because you're seeing treadmills and stuff like sitting
people on
silent.
These
yeah. So there I am, and I'm saying, look, if I'm no good as a boxing instructor, then don't worry about it. If I suck, I suck. Yeah. You don't need to hire
me. That's on you, right.
Just let me shadow this guy. Let me show you what I got. Yeah. So I made friends with the guy, started a relationship. Now he needed me because I was the $10 an hour guy, fixed everything up. Eventually, he said, I'm opening a new gym in Pasadena. You build it for 10 bucks an hour, and you can teach the morning class.
Interesting.
And I said, fine.
Done.
I'll do it. It's the biggest rip-off of my life, but I built this guy a gym for $10 an hour.
But it was
not worth it from the ground up. I remodeled the,
but
you know,
it was worth it to you in the long run.
Worth it to me, and then I used that to meet Jimmy Kimmel.
So that's the synthetic piece, bringing the different parts of you. The other part people don't think about is I would argue that your need for Thai food is more about being creative than anything else, that being able then to synthesize and then use those synthetic abilities to create something new, sort of the ultimate, that's now an interesting, even if it's not doing exactly what you want, now you're onto a high order experience. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
There are over 250,000 podcasts on Apple. As we know, we don't know if this is on iTunes. We don't know if this is worldwide because there's just, if you're in your basement in Kentucky.
Well, he says 100 languages, 155 countries.
Well, but still on iTunes.
iTunes US.
I don't know.
UK.
Well, no.
No?
Well, just through iTunes. There
iTunes
other ways
in general.
True,
don't be a dick.
If it's 155 countries, how can it only be the US?
All right.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
I'm sorry. My point is this. Okay. This is on, just let me speak here, Drew. 250,000 on iTunes.
Yes.
We don't know how many there are worldwide because I'll bet you every high school has 20 jack-off kids. If I was in high school when these things were going down, I'd have my own podcast just for the kids I went to high school with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Agree.
Now, so thank you for that honor. Now, where were we? Yes.
Just
synthesizing
talking about,
potpourri.
Yeah.
Well, also evolving and moving on and exploring
growing. Yeah, always.
Yeah, and every
we're putting a positive spin on it, but my original question was no one ever seems to be doing exactly what they want to do.
Well, you know?
Even when they are, like, I would argue that him doing films and all that would be creative and interesting and a synthesis potentially if he did it right, and yet not good enough. I got to race cars.
Well, if you
look
at how different the two activities are.
Yeah. Yeah.
One is scripted and the other is God knows what's going to happen. If this guy in front of me's tire blows out, it's a totally different thing.
Yep.
You know, so it's like one is completely unknown. The other's planned a year in advance.
Yep.
You know, I do think just like I wanted my Thai food, I didn't want something with less turkey in it.
Yeah.
I wanted something that never had Thai food. There's no turkey dish.
But the thing you're saying though is let's say you were having like Wolfgang Puck made your turkey every day. Eventually you'd go, I want Thai. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
So my guys cheat, and they want to fuck new turkeys. I also want to say this: I'm doing a TV show, and it's a grind. And when we do it 3 days in a row, it gets kind of grindy.
Yeah. We'll do something different.
I'm shooting my next episode this coming Saturday. I shot my last episode last Saturday. The one day of shooting, that's fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like anything.
Right.
Podcast, live podcast, work on the Newman doc, work on the script for the whatever, go muss around. I mean, I did yesterday. I changed the differential oil and the transmission oil in my car, but then I did a podcast that night. All over the place. Never gets tiring. You start doing it every night.
I get it.
This is what I don't get about like Letterman is when you go on year 33, I feel like he's like walks in there and just goes, another night of turkey.
He probably does.
Yeah. Who's on? We have Kendrick Kardashian, and he's like, oh, fuck. How old is she? She's two. Fuck. I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Speaking of a grind and tiring, going to the post office.
No!
That's the grind. You don't need to do that anymore because there is stamps.com. Holidays are upon us. You don't want to go in there and wait in those lines. You can use stamps.com, do everything you could possibly do at the post office, at your home, at your computer, buy and print official U.S. postage, printing it out at your own printer, easy, convenient. The mailman picks it up, and of course, we have our special offer. You've got to use the promo code ADS, no risk trial, $110. It's a digital scale, so you can determine the precise postage for your particular letter or package and then print it right up on your printer. And then $55 of free postage. So potentially that's even what you weigh and put on your post, your package, free. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. That is stamps.com, promo code ADS.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with your phone calls after this.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I tell you about the greatest Christmas gift I ever got anyone. It was for Uncle Arnie. Was it a music box or was it coffee? You can find out by going to LarryMillerPodcast.com. We'll see you here.
Well, thank you for returning to iTunes' new show of the year. Thank you very much. If you'd like to support us, you can click through the Amazon link at AdamAndDrDrewShow.com. Put a little wind in the sail. Subscribe via PayPal. Very easy to do. Also, me and Dr. Drew live, three shows, Bakersfield, Santa Barbara, Denver. Just $4.99 available at AdamCarolla.com and iTunes. And by the way, the Adam Carolla store is up and running.
Ooh.
And doing quite nicely.
What is this now?
Cool t-shirts,
ah,
cool hats, mugs, and things of that nature. Mugs.
I want to do that on my website.
We'll work that out. Yeah. And if you want to know where to get the mangria, just go to CarollaDrinks.com. It's back flowing now. You can find it again. So hit that. Hit the shop and
celebrate. Hey, speaking of documentaries, I've got a documentary coming out in January about divorce, and it's a very cool documentary that sort of blows the lid off the divorce industry. It'll make you think, if you ever think about splitting up with your wife, you would I would think this documentary could potentially impact the divorce rates in this country when you realize what a fucking scam divorce is.
Well, can I say this?
Yeah.
I think we've done to divorce successfully what we've done to taxes. We've taken something, the tax code.
Yeah.
Meaning I have no choice but to pay someone $5,000 every year to go through fucking stack of papers that goes up to the moon. And I have to sign, you know, 37 times, piles and piles and piles of this. It's a whole cottage industry that's built around this horrible tax code. And every single person I've talked to about divorce just goes, the only winner is the attorneys.
That's right. We go into detail about that. And there's a couple of things. It turns out family law courts are outside of constitutional sort of restraints. And it's a chummy sort of a thing where the lawyers hire the judges to come speak at their events and then bring them into their organizations later. And as the judges head towards retirement, it's insanely chummy. Oh, thank you for putting that up there.
Yeah.
Insanely chummy. And there's no constitution. People go to jail because they speak up in court. Judge goes, shut the fuck up, you're going to jail.
Well,
and you have no recourse.
It's basically this. If I can try to distill it. Drew, easy with the mic.
My shoulder,
the documentary is called Divorce Corp.
Thank you. Divorce Corp, check it out.
It really looks cool. No, I've not been divorced. I've heard many a horror story, and it's like this. Pretty simple. I'm getting a divorce from you. What do we have between us? We have a big can of beans between us. That's what we have between us.
Yeah.
We have a couple of children, and we want to make sure that the children have enough beans to eat. And we're going to now decide, you and I,
yeah,
how many beans you get, how many beans I get. Now,
okay,
I'm going to be taking care of the kids, so I need a couple more beans. Quiet.
Okay. Let me layer
somehow,
in the cost of where the beans are going to go.
Quiet.
Go ahead.
I'm putting this in a nutshell.
All right.
Somehow, 2 years later, the dust settles. I have half a bean. You have half a bean. And there's two lawyers that have 300 beans.
Not only two lawyers. Before we decide how many beans are necessary to take care of the kids, we have to have the kids evaluated.
Right.
Those evaluators.
They get some beans, too.
Lots of beans. So, and they work for the – and the attorneys kick back. You know, it's going back
and forth.
Of course.
So we take this pot of beans.
The judges end up with some of the beans later. The judges can wait for those beans that the attorneys are going to give some
right
to later.
So instead of saying, how do we whack up these beans, we start ladling out beans and throwing them on the floor.
Most of the time, nothing left.
Right.
All goes everywhere else.
It's totally insane, and I blame the bitches.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because every divorce story, not everyone, many that I've heard of, and if you want to do it like the Corollas, where the daddy says, I have no beans, and the mama says, we don't have beans either, and my dad just gets up and leaves. My dad just got up and went to his mother-in-law's house and camped out on the sofa for 6 months.
Nice.
With no assets, no
Maybe
joint accounts.
Genius about your parents after all.
They never got divorced.
They didn't have to.
There's nothing
to divide up. No attorney's interest in taking that one.
The house was owned by my mom's mom.
Yeah, of course.
And that was that. Just got up and left. There was no furniture. There was no joint accounts. There's no anything. I just got up and left. It was super, super easy.
The kids were all feral.
We were going to raise ourselves and live in that house anyway. That was that. There's never a divorce until they both remarried, and then the only reason they ever got divorced is because they got remarried to other people, where now they'd be a polygamist or something. You'd have two wives, essentially. Had to officially get divorced. There was never anything traded in between them. The reason I blame the bitches on this one, it's not the bitches, it's the bitches' friends.
Oh, other bitches?
Let me explain what would happen.
Okay.
Let me tell you exactly what would happen if Lynette and I got divorced.
Okay.
Here's exactly what would happen. Are you listening?
I can't wait.
Here's how this whole thing would unfold. You ready?
So happy for your kids.
Here's how it goes. No, we're not going to get divorced, but if...
I understand.
This is how it would work.
I understand that.
I would say, listen, these fucking lawyers are fucking vultures. They will come in and they will suck out a bunch of money that could be going to you and could be going to the kids. They're not going to help anything. They're going to agitate. They're going to line their own pockets. And we're going to take a bunch of guys from Century City that are already fucking rich, who have nothing to do with us, and give them a shitload of money.
Yes.
So let's not do that.
Right.
I'm fair-minded. I want what's best for the kids.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do this.
We've disagreed.
Yeah.
We're going to move on. We're not going to be married. But there's nobody who's more fair-minded than me. And I want what's best for you, and I want what's best for the kids.
All right.
So let's sit down, work this out in an equitable fashion so that everybody can be happy, and so on and so forth. And then she would say, I agree. Why give all those people all that money that we don't know? Let's work this out fairly. Let's have a dialogue.
Then the bitches.
And let's move on. Then cunt number one slides in at lunch. You're getting a divorce? Yes. Oh, you got to talk to Herb Weinstein. No, I'm sorry. I have to bring the blacks into this. You got to talk to Herb Weinstein. Then Lynette would say, no, I discussed this with Adam.
We're just
going to sit down. We're going to talk. We're going to figure out what the assets are. We're going to whack it up in a fair way. We're going to take. Are you kidding me? What about Mangria?
No, you need to be protected.
You got to.
Yeah.
What about the future? Well, we're whacking. So you have money for what? 5 years? And then what?
Yeah.
And then what? He's going to marry some 27-year-old Hooters chick, and then Mangria takes off?
Hooters chick? Wait a minute. I need an attorney.
You were around for Mangria. You helped start Mangria, did you not?
The next wife, the next girlfriend. That's
right.
That's what gets the attorney involved right there.
Right. Yes.
You got to go gay.
Oh.
You have to.
Well, I will in the next one. But so now, here's how it goes. Lynette says, cunt number one, look, we've have kind of worked this out. Cunt number two chimes in. You should at least sit down with Herb Weinstein.
Right.
Just sit down with him because he knows you have rights. He knows those. You don't know. Look, I'm not saying Adam's not a bad guy or an unfair guy or whatever he is, but
it's complicated.
You want to be protected.
Yeah, it's complicated.
And it's complicated. You know what? I'm gonna set you up a meeting with Herb. I'm gonna set you up a meeting with him. Just sit down with him. You don't have to do anything with him. Literally just sit down with him. I'm gonna set you up a meeting. He's in Century City. I'm gonna set up that meeting. Now it's
game on.
Now it's over.
And then the attorneys, by the way, encourage.
Now it's over. Now with Herb Weinstein on her side, well, guess who has to get an attorney?
Right.
I got to get an attorney.
Yeah. It's literally like turning a cannon towards you. I've got to build a cannon. But they encourage
That's
lying.
That's how it works.
Lying is sort of encouraged in this whole process. The whole idea of lying in court doesn't matter.
Really?
You just lie.
I, first off, do not understand the 50-50 anything.
There's no way Lynette
deserves 50% of whatever I have or whatever we have.
No way she does?
No way. Fucking nuts. You've fucking been brainwashed, dude.
Now she's an attorney.
It's insane. I fucking built this thing. She doesn't deserve 50%. She doesn't deserve 10%.
I would argue.
She deserves to be taken care of. And the kids deserve to be taken care of. Not in perpetuity, by the way. She's able-bodied, can work, can do whatever. This whole notion of you must take care of this person in perpetuity, these are people that work before they met. Well, Lynette had jobs her whole life. Lynette's smart. Lynette's capable. Lynette can work. It's number one. She can't work the day after the divorce. She could work 2 years after divorce. Whatever. They deserve to be taken care of. And the family deserves to be taken care of to a standard that's not the standard that they're accustomed to a standard that is considered safe and comfortable. I don't, if you grow up, just because we live in a 50 bedroom mansion with 500 bathrooms, does that mean that goes on in perpetuity? I used to have a deal in radio that was $3 million. Well, I'm used to that. That's the lifestyle that I've become accustomed to. Well, guess what? It's
too,
over.
Too fucking bad.
Too bad. I mean, look. I don't say that somebody like Lynette and my kids should not have a safe, an environment that's safe and comfortable and conducive to learning and whatever else, but they don't have to have the life that they had. I don't think anyone, I certainly don't have that. If I get fucking laryngitis tomorrow, the podcast goes away, where's my lifestyle? You know what I mean, the notion that you're entitled to this lifestyle in perpetuity is insane to me. You should be entitled to. We should go up to a point. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
When you do one of those like dating websites, or which you might have to sign up for after the divorce, when you do one of those sites or one of those
Christian
brackets or whatever it is,
yeah.
It'll go. Income, you know, 25 to 40,
right.
40 to 60.
Right.
And then it'll go 100 and it'll just go above.
Plus. Yeah.
Plus. There should be a 100 plus, meaning.
For divorce.
Yes, which is you're entitled to a nice, safe home in a nice neighborhood with a good school district and help for the kids and food on the table, but not you're not one of the spellings. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, the person that's leaving or whatever the circumstances, that person should provide that up to that standard.
Yeah.
But you don't have to go on vacations to Bali. You can go to Disneyland. That's fine. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get
it. So that's number one. Number two, they should factor in a whole bunch of stuff like What was this guy doing when you met him? Look, if you're the chick who's, you know, waiting tables because you're putting your man through med school, that's a totally different situation than Charlie Sheen getting married to one of his bimbos tomorrow.
Right.
Right?
Yes, that's true.
Oh, there's a zillion factors. Just factor it all in.
Okay, so what I come to understand here is Lynette fucking needs to get an attorney. She absolutely needs an attorney.
No, she absolutely.
Absolutely.
She absolutely.
Now I understand. I go watch Divorce Corp, everybody. Just don't get divorced.
I love how it's established that she's getting the kids, though.
She can have all three of them or whatever we got. The point is this. I am incredibly fair-minded and would always take care of her and always take care of the kids.
Yeah, I know.
And
to a point.
That's it. But if I sell a bottle of Mangria 15 years from now, she doesn't need half the money. That was my idea.
I get it. I get it. I get your point of view.
Shut up.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Well, why can't we treat divorce the same way we treat everything else in life?
Let me make one contrary.
Go ahead.
One contrary opinion I think you would agree with, which is I like there being enforces in place that make divorce difficult and discourage it. And in a way, the way it is really discourages it.
I disagree.
It also makes It also makes the main breadwinner responsible for a family, which I kind of like. Even though the family may be kind of separated, I like the fact that person is responsible for a family and that the forces there discourage divorce, even though people still seem to do it like crazy.
Well, thank you. We have forces in place that deter murder.
Yeah.
It doesn't really stop people who are hot-headed and have a gun from shooting people.
But we have no forces. I'm just saying. You're saying the forces are excessive. I get that. I understand it.
Okay.
All right.
Either way, not getting divorced, but that's exactly how it would go down. Wouldn't be Lynette. It'd be cunt number one and cunt number two and Herb Weinstein. That's how that would work.
Yeah,
I suspect
how it goes.
That's how
and
it works.
And then it escalates in the
and
system.
And then at the end, they end up giving the attorneys more money than she would have got.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yep.
It's an awesome plan. All right. Semen in the toilet, Hitler and Stalin. All right.
Semen in the toilet.
All right. Hey, Dan.
How you doing, Adam?
30. What's going on?
Not much. I think I have some added clues that I think could help us determine who's leaving the semen in the toilet.
Drew is sure he's found the semen in the toilet.
Let's revisit this. There's a little something in the women's bathroom, which some of your gentlemen frequent.
Mm-hmm.
The catch? What's the thing down the bottom of the toilet bowl? That sort of in the lowest part. There's a little bit of what looks like
there's a ghost floating in there.
Biological material left behind in there.
Mm-hmm. And Max Pata is the odds-on favorite.
And Max Pata gets very uncomfortable every time we bring this up. He starts
Gary's
giggling
out of range.
And moving around. Gary, yeah, yeah. Gary's mm-hmm. a no.
So,
yeah.
So my insight into this would be that, and I think Dr. Drew would agree, that men of high production years, when they're making their most seminal fluid, if they strain with a bowel movement, will commonly have a release of seminal fluid.
There can be.
Commonly?
Not commonly, but there can be.
Okay, it's sensation-free, so the person wouldn't notice this.
Mm.
It's likely a person.
All right, I like this idea. I like the notion that Max Apata or the Porcelain Punisher had at themselves as a, you know, just a sort of morning ritual. Brush your teeth, drink the coffee, quiet, stroke off, and then they come into work. Now they come into work, and there's still a little residue, a little gunpowder in that barrel. You know what I'm saying?
Then they sit
down on the toilet to take a shit, and a little whatever's left over, you know, you shut the water off, there's still something in the hose.
But we don't need to create such a fantasy. These guys are jacking off all day.
Oh,
why bother with the overflow theory?
Joey?
Hey, Adam, Drew.
25, Cincinnati. What's up?
I was wondering if Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, and, say, Pablo Escobar were still around today.
It's a weird combo.
What would their Twitter handles be?
I think it would be the real Adolf Hitler. Because I think Adolf, I don't know if Adolf Hitler's Twitter name has probably been taken or bought up, and then someone would be trying to sell it back, and he'd be like, fuck you, I'm going with the Fuhrer. I bought that too. I have that domain. And so Adolf would get pissed that he'd have to buy back his domain or buy back a Twitter name from somebody that some guy would want to sell it. Some nerd would want to sell it to him. And he wouldn't do it, so he'd probably just go with the real Adolf Hitler or the real Fuhrer.
And Stalin would be like the cleanser or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Either way, there'd have to be a lot of the real. I don't know how Twitter works.
Joe the cleanser.
Are they like, is it like doing a vanity plate? Like, are you allowed to call yourself fucking fuckstick, or you can?
What do you mean? You can say anything, you mean?
Well, I mean, it's like vanity license plate. You can customize a license plate, but you can't call yourself fucker.
You can't say fuckstick.
Not on your license plate. License plate really? Frame you can get Shocking. Made like at Knott's Berry Farm or something.
Say fuckstick.
Huh. Say fuckstick. Yeah, that'd be an interesting thing, too. If you went to Knott's Berry Farm and you wanted like a custom license plate frame, where would they stop? You know what I mean?
It depends who was behind the counter, I think.
Would they just print anything you fucking wrote, or would they have their limits as well? Either way, so Gary, with Twitter, is there an Adolf Hitler on Twitter?
I just looked it up. There is that username. It's not active. But
how about Joseph Stalin?
It's not active. So someone just wants to sell it back to Adolf.
Yeah, of course.
That's what I'm saying. The real Adolf Hitler would then.
There's a Joseph Stalin, too.
There you go. Yeah. Somebody's got
to try to sell it.
That's why there'll be Joe the Cleanser.
I looked up Nazi and Nazi KKK. They're all there.
Stalin would want to take on some of the Ronnie the Limo Driver persona or something.
I'm just saying.
Fuckstick's there.
It definitely have to be.
Fuckstick is there as a. Oh, my God.
It's one tweet is masturbating furious.
How about fucking fuckstick?
Hey, Paul.
That one's not there. Jump on that.
Let's go. Buy it. Get it.
Ball 24, Illinois.
Hey, Ace Man, get it on.
What's going on, man?
Did I hear some yelling in the background?
No, I'm at my school right now. So there's people out there. Yeah.
What's going on?
So I want to know the difference between when people are like getting into an argument and when they're getting into an argument, you should probably call the police. So like I have like some neighbors and they get into arguments. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm like, they're just trying to work stuff out. You know, it's a young couple. But sometimes it gets pretty hardcore. I'm not, like, hearing people getting hit or anything. But, I mean, I'm not trying to call the man or anything. But at the same time,
What's wrong with the man? To give him a little notice. A, you're disturbing the neighborhood. And B, this is not okay.
I know you don't like the
911 calls.
Do you observe her? Do you see her walking around?
Yeah, I see her.
You ever see any marks on her of any kind?
No, I don't.
Do you ever hear them throwing hear them throwing stuff?
No, I haven't heard them throw any stuff yet, but it can get pretty intense, and it's just like...
Yeah, people, I understand. Depending on the nationality, people get into it.
How dare you?
Listen, I live in a house, but I've gotten
really?
Some... I welcome people into my home, yes, in front of my children. No, look, I've gotten some fucking pretty good arguments with Lynette, but it's in my house.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't do it at the mall, and I probably wouldn't if it was a small apartment with someone below me and above me. I'd reel it in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm able to yell because it is my house.
Yeah.
So there's no threat. I would say
it's not good for the kids. I got to tell you.
Not good for the kids. If you hear any, here's what I would say. Obviously, any physical damage. You see the person with a black eye, whatever. Yeah. Number one. Number two, if you heard any threats, I'm going to throttle you.
But by the way, it feels like it's going to go there, too. If it seems
intense.
There's
a lot of people
enough.
Just fucking argue. They just fucking argue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Lynette and I have gotten some arguments where we argue, but there's never a chance of any physical thing. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. What's the matter, Gary?
Never a chance.
Oh,
how dare you. I am insulted.
She might.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she may shoot me. Yeah. But I don't know how to. I don't know how to hit or put my hands on a woman. I really don't.
Yeah.
I've never done it, can't do it. It's just not in my repertoire.
For the record, that's clearly what I was...
No,
that was
okay.
What I meant,
yeah.
Was her. So, well, you tell her one more time to put the keys on the front table, and she just throws
a machete out.
She throws a, I was going to say rolling pin at you, but iPhone?
No, machete.
She was making
stars.
Cookies the other day and using an aluminum thermos as a rolling pin, which left this high speed bump on it.
Well,
no,
what I'm interested in is
pin.
Gary sits through all the Crying Out Loud podcasts, so he must be hearing something.
If she hit me with a rolling pin, my first reaction would not be, ow. It would be, you have a rolling pin? This is awesome. Then it would be, ow.
All right.
No, there's no, as heated as an argument could get, there's never anything physical ever happen.
On your end.
On my
end. Yeah, okay.
All right.
I believe in bringing people in. I don't know.
Nah, leave the cops alone. Travis, 24.
Hey, guys, get it on, Iceman, sorry.
What's going on?
Dig.
I just want to quickly say I'm a huge fan. I've been watching you, Adam, since I was 10.
Thank you.
And I've been, my dad and I are going to be road tripping down to your shows in Buffalo and Detroit next year.
Loving you, buddy.
How's your mayor?
Oh, that's what I'm actually calling about.
Oh,
he's
Toronto,
good up here, apparently.
Yeah.
He's what?
Well, up here, our mayor's been, you know, of all the news that he's been creating around the world, but up here, he still has a lot of support. So my question is, if you guys had a mayor down there who got himself into similar water, but he could still do his job, like he was still going to work every day and was seemingly functional, could you guys still support him?
Well, it's really interesting. This is interesting because politically, I think the guy's like really on it. You know what I mean? Especially in a place like Canada. I mean, it's very bold what he's doing. And he's getting the shit together in Toronto. So people like the fact that he's sort of aggressive and able to, you know, speak his mind and take care of a city council that's sort of out of control. He does it. But there's this side effect where he's hanging around prostitutes doing crack.
You know? Well, look.
and drinking, binge drinking. And I would say I have no problem supporting him, but dude, you're going to die. Take care of yourself. And we can't have somebody impaired doing the job. You know what I mean?
Let's.
Although in LA, you would argue.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. A super drunk Chuck Liddell could beat the shit out of Chris Maxpada, who was super sober. So
yeah.
There are guys who are fucked up that are better at certain things, even if they're impaired for them. Now, a super sober Chuck Liddell could beat the shit out of Tito Ortiz. But our mayor, former mayor, Villa Ritardo over here, he was impaired psychologically. I mean, he was an imbecile. And he was mentally, I don't know if he has a neurological problem, but he was simple. He was a simpleton. Anytime you heard him speak, it sounded like a simple person was speaking.
Maybe he was just making his message as simple.
Had no message. He was much more interested in travel and schmoozing and sitting courtside at the Laker games and fucking Telemundo reporters. And he did nothing, as far as I could tell, for this city for the 6 or 8 years he was.
There's another.
What did
element.
I get? 4 years? What's
the
merit?
Eight, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, he had two terms. So I would much rather have the guy was blown out of his mind on crack than the guy who did nothing.
But there's another element.
I'd feel the same way about my pool man. But anyone but a babysitter.
But where you're leading a law enforcement organization and breaking the law, I think that's a problem.
Whether you're the general and it's World War II and you have a serious problem with brandy or whatever it is, I would much – look, do you think you could do worse than Villaraigosa?
Well, the point –
would you not – would you rather have this guy running – who would you rather have had run L.A. for the last 8 years? Villaraigosa
– Or Ford.
Or Ford.
Politically,
Ford. Ford.
But
Villaraigosa is an idiot.
But here's the deal.
It
appears, though, by the way, that Ford seems to have got his binge substance use under control for the moment.
All right.
Which is okay. God bless him.
So we'd rather the fat, crack-addicted guy from Toronto run this city.
Makes for great TV.
Than the semi-sober guy we had doing nothing for the last 4 years, the last 8 years. Who's going to make a run at governor?
Let's take an extendo break.
Oh, my God. God. All right. I want to thank you guys for subscribing via the PayPal. Thank you guys so much for going to Corolla Drinks and getting your mangria back up and flowing. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Maxipata, Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.